Paul, we began Romans 1 last week, and I ended with this verse, and we're going to pick up with this verse. But we're going to talk about the need of salvation. One of the biggest problems I think that we have when we're trying to talk to people these days is for them to recognize that there's a problem. And then to also recognize that there's only really one solution to that problem. With all that we have in the way of philosophy and psychology and technology and all the things that our society thinks are important, God's word is taking less and less center stage, and people take it less and less seriously, and they begin to look to other things for help and strength. But we begin with this text that says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation of everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." And then the next line, or partial line, is the wrath of God is being revealed. Well, we're going to deal with that a lot more today. But I wanted to, what happens in Romans is Paul mentions righteousness and he mentions the power of the gospel, and then he doesn't mention righteousness again until chapter 3:21. So you have two chapters where he's talking about wrath. And so before we get into all the wrath, I just want to remind you that what we're really talking about is the power of God for rescue. To rescue. Rescue means to be saved out of something, to be pulled out of something. And the question that, you know, we need to ask is, what do we need to be rescued from, and why do we need to be rescued? Okay, and that's part of what he answers today. The counterpart to the wrath of God, as you see our little paradigm for the gospel here, is there's wrath, which we're going to deal with, and then there's righteousness. And righteousness is what overcomes wrath. And that's what the gospel is about. The gospel is about the righteousness of Christ in us that overcomes wrath. So all the stuff that we're going to talk about today, it's overcome in one little statement. I believe in Jesus. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. I believe that his death meant something and changed my destiny. But it doesn't change everybody's destiny. It only changes those who believe. So he says that, you know, there's a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. It begins with faith. It ends with faith. It's something that we need to hold on to even in the middle of a world that is set up for wrath, a world that is in serious trouble. Most of the people in our world do not believe in the coming of wrath. They don't believe that you know, God is going to come and bring wrath down upon those who've ignored him and forgotten about him or chosen a different way. They want to create a God that says, well, God is going to live and let live. God's going to just let it go. God's just going to say, oh, it's okay. I understand. You know, you're okay anyway, right? There's that kind of attitude. So most people don't believe that the wrath of God is coming. But Scripture is very clear. It says that the wrath of God is being revealed. Part of the gospel is this. There is the revelation of the good news. God has made a way out. God has made a way of rescue. The bad news, though, is part of that. You need to be rescued from the coming wrath. You need to be rescued from the trouble that is all around this world, very evident, very real, and that day is approaching, where God's wrath is going to come and bring about a destruction of everything that ignores him, everything that rejects him, everything that tries to change him. He is Almighty God. He is the creator of heaven and earth. He is my creator. He gives me purpose. He gives me the truth. He directs my steps and tells me how I should live. The world doesn't do that. It says the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. And basically, it's a matter of we have righteousness, right? That word, which means doing right before the Lord. And in the Greek, all you do is, like, we have the word un, right? You put un, unrighteous, okay? They put the word a, which means unrighteous. So you have righteous and unrighteous. It is unrighteous. And then it is ungodly, okay? Ungodliness. Meaning that, you know, godliness is that we worship God, we commune with God, we pray to God, we let God tell us how to live, we bow to God. That's godliness. Ungodliness is we have no part of that. We do it our own way. We by our own sophistication, our own wisdom, our own, you know, creations. We invent a new God, or we invent a new philosophy, or we invent something else to trust in other than God. So this ungodliness, this wickedness, right, is part of the rebellion of humanity against God. The problem with it is it stops people from knowing the truth. See, it's not just, you know, it, like most sinners will say, I'm not hurting anybody but myself, right? It's not true, because the fact is that as this godlessness and this unrighteousness is perpetuated and grows, it hides the reality, the truth of a righteous God, a holy God, a God that made us for a purpose, a God who has a will for us, and a God that defines righteousness over and above what we might call righteous, okay? So the thing is that, you know, their actions, the actions of the world, hide the truth about God, and therefore it makes them real bad criminals, right? I mean, just the silliest analogy, but if someone found the cure to cancer, and they had that, but they hid it away, and said, I'm not going to give that to anybody, what kind of a person is that, right? What kind of penalty does that person deserve? Well, that's in effect what's going on when people reinvent God, when they recreate truth, when they define righteousness on their own terms, and they obscure who God is, they hide who God is, right? They're hiding the truth from people, and it's killing them. It's killing this planet. It's killing human society. So that's the discussion that we get into this, is that as you know, people are doing these things, it is offensive to God, and for that reason, wrath is coming. Wrath is coming. Listen, and we'll get into this. So he says, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. First of all, there are three charges that he makes against humanity who rejects God. It is this, that what they do is not an accident. It's not an accident that they push God out of their heart. It's not an accident that they push God out of their home, out of their schools, out of their courthouses. It's not an accident that they try to hide God. There was a little, you know, cartoon that the teacher was standing in front of a class and said that, you know, children, the letters G, O, and D have had to be removed from our alphabet script, because if they're put in the, you know, right order, they spell the word God. Just that idea of what's going on outside. And it's not an accident. It's not an accident that they're doing this. That Romans 1 tells us that they know God exists. They know there is a God, and this is a willful rejection of the truth. So it is not just, oops, oh, if I'd have known better, if I'd have just seen it clearer, I would have done better. So Scripture says no. It's very clear. Listen, everywhere that missionaries have gone, they go to, you know, tropical islands way off in the middle of nowhere, and they'll find a tribe. And that tribe has religion. They're worshiping something. They're making a God, or they're, you know, it's inside of us to look for God. It's inside of us to call on God. And those who do it sincerely will find God. And so he says, you know, it's plain that you know, God has made himself known. We talked about this on Wednesday nights, a general revelation. He's made himself known. He's shown himself. You know, he is the creator. You can't look at the the flowers and the trees and the birds and everything, and how it all so wondrously works together. You can't look at, you know, the inner workings of a body and not believe that there was a brain, a design, a wisdom behind that creation. Every part of this creation screams out, there is a God. But we change it to, no, it's Mother Nature. Or we change it to, you know, look how smart we are, right? We've learned to do all this medical stuff. We've learned how to transplant hearts. You know how long hearts existed before we figured out we could transplant them? Do you know how long, you know, the common cold existed before we just found out, you know, what it was? How long a flu came before we found out, you know, how to immunize against it? I mean, you know, all these things, they always were there. We're catching up with what God already put here. We're not wise. We're not that smart. It took us, you know, thousands of years to figure out a lot of these things that we're just now figuring out. How to use things that God put in front of us all the time. It's not about what we've done. It's about what God has done. And by nature, these folks are not by nature, but by willful ignorance. They don't want to know God. They don't want to honor God or glorify God. So he says that. He says, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him or gave thanks to him. But their thinking, they became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Again, here's the thing that comes very clear in this process of creating a world of wrath. It is a willful decision to push God away. And then when you push God away, you create an environment that is worse. Okay? So, like, and you can see that in homes. You can see that in how people live. If you push God out of your home, your home's going to be worse. If God is like the center of your home, and it's a place of prayer, a place of worship, and it's, you know, it's like really a part of your life, not just something you do once in a while, but it's really a part of what you are, that home is going to be, you know, a place of glory and peace and comfort and strength, right? If you push God out of a home, and you don't want anything to do with God in a home, you can have a place of battle and war and addiction and all the troubles that come with that, right? Well, this is true in the whole world. When you have a society, our society is pushing God out. It's been pushing God out for, you know, three generations now. Three generations have been shoving God out of our society, making it, you know, more and more obscure, making people who believe in God look more and more ridiculous. That's what their attempt is, right? And you know, one thing I can tell you, having been here a while, it's not getting better. Our society is getting worse, right? And that's what happens when people push God away, when things degrade, they get worse. Foolishness, darkness in their mind. In other words, they can't see, they can't understand. Although they claim to be wise, they become fools, and they exchange the glory of God for immortal God for images made to look like men, birds, animals, and reptiles. Again, you know, you see the wonder of nature. I always tell the story I saw on a nature show where there's this flower that had a petal with a color on it, and when a bee landed on that petal because it attracted him, the stamen tapped the bee on the back. And you know, I'm like, you know, God took such care to develop this flower, to put that trigger on a petal of a flower so that when the bee saw that color and landed on that, it would deposit the pollen. And of course, the narrator on the show says, and nature decided to create, you know, and it's like, where is the brain in that flower? Where is the brain in that bee? Where is the intelligence behind these things? But they want to give credit to the creation rather than the creator. They want to worship the flower. They want to worship the bee. But they don't want to worship the God who made the flower and made the bee. Because what happens when you start to worship God is God has rightful demands of us. God can make demands and say, okay, this is how you live. This is your purpose, right? If you listen to the science of our age and the popular science that people are listening to, what's it telling us? You're a bug, and you have no greater purpose than a beetle crawling on a sidewalk, and when your life is over, it's over. That's what they teach us. They teach us that, you know, and what's the morality behind that? What kind of morality do you have if you're just a bug or a dog or a squirrel? You know, yeah, you collect all the nuts you want and sleep around all you want and do whatever you want because it's all just about being a happy squirrel, you know. That's not what God's plan is. And our world is obscuring God and hiding God and making God harder to understand. And again, in some European countries, when a person comes to Christ, they're looked upon as absolutely outcast and strange, because they're maybe 100 years beyond where we are in secularism. We're catching up. We're getting there. Churches are going to be rare. The scripture will be rare if it continues to go the way it is, right? It's what happens with this willful moving out away from God is it strips away God's purposes. That is probably, to me, the biggest crime in what evolution teaches people and in what the science of the day teaches people. It changes our purpose. God made you and me, and He made us to be His children. He made us to live with Him. He made us to be, walking like Him, thinking like Him, like a son with a dad. That's what He did. He made us to be like Him. And when we reject that, when we obscure that, when we change the purpose and say, no, I'm just a bug. I'm just a squirrel. And I do what I want to do. And the world's what I want it to be. Right? It changes everything. It changes the structure of society. It changes morality. It changes everything. Right? So what happens is they erase the purpose of God. And by doing so, they build a case for wrath. Now, what does God do about this? This is the most amazing thing, because God is this way. If you want to ignore God, if you want to push God out of your life, if you want God to become very small in who you are, God will let you do it. If you want to have a world without God, God will let you have it. As a matter of fact, if you read the book of Revelation the way we do, we understand that, ultimately that's the world that it's going to be. There's going to be a world that is so antagonistic to God and His people, it's going to be a battle zone for all God's people. And God lets them do this. It's part of His plan. It's part of His plan to let people destroy this world. How does He do it? He gives them over. And it says this three times in the verses ahead. It says, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts. God gave them over to shameful lusts. God gave them over to a depraved mind. What does that mean, give them over? It means He let them go. If you want to live without God, God's not going to, put you in a box and make you serve Him, make you love Him, make you worship Him, make you bow down to Him, make you take on His sense of righteousness. He's not going to make you do that. If you want to live without God, He will let you go. But the consequences of that are horrible. The consequences of it are terrible. The consequences of God letting people go their own way is the wrath of God coming upon the whole world. Peter tells us that this whole world is reserved for fire. It's going to be burned. It's going to be destroyed by the wrath of God. Why? Because we make a world without God. We're headed towards that. That's what we're doing. And that's what happens. So when He gives them over to the desires of their hearts, it says, therefore, God gave them over to the sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity, for degrading their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. They worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever to be praised. Amen. Now, what he's talking about here is idolatry. This is the practice of idolatry. They would come together and they would have a big orgy in front of their idol, in front of their, cat, dog, bull, whatever image they were worshiping that day. And they would have an orgy in front of him. That's what he's talking about. God allows them to go their own way and sin against God. He allows people to sin against God. It for some of us, I know for me, it drives me crazy. I see this and I get like this righteous indignation. What these people are just going the wrong way. They're doing it wrong. They're not, worshiping God the way He should be worshiped. They're not, doing what God's told us to do, right? God doesn't do that. God's saving up. He's not going to unleash His anger. He's not going to unleash His wrath right now. He's letting them go. He will let people. You want to have a temple of you know, the pencil, and you put a pencil up and everybody worship the pencil. God will let you do that. God, there's actually a cult called Nichiren Shoshu where they have a black box and they stick little pieces of paper in the black box and everybody comes into the room and they worship the black box. There are so many cults and so many false religions in this world, so many false gods, but God lets us do that. He lets us sin against Him if that's what we want to do. If that's what we want to do. See? But folks, don't, you know, misunderstand. All of this falls under the reason why wrath is coming. Eventually, God, there is a day set aside where God says, this is enough. Where God says, you know, just think about this. Think about what this is doing to this planet. Think about, you know, so we were talking about, you know, Hinduism, India. India, right, has more gods. There are millions and millions of gods in India. India has the worst stinking population in the world. People are starving to death, dying daily. Hundreds of thousands of people live in the streets and will never have a home over their head. And their Hinduism tells them that that's all good. That that's the way it's supposed to be. Because in their understanding, karma doesn't mean doing good or bad. Karma means don't do anything. And they will watch a baby starve and say, if I feed that baby, I'm messing up karma. And they will walk away. Yeah, that, see, again, the media teaches us all this garbage about Hinduism. It is an ugly, perverse, grotesque religion. They worship people. They put a guy's picture on the wall, and that's their guru. And they worship him not as a man, but as God. Right? God will let them do that. God will let them destroy millions and millions of lives like that. Right? But there's a day coming where God's going to put a stop to it. There is a day of wrath coming, right? So people can sin against God. People can sin against nature. What did we do here? All right, there it goes. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural affections for unnatural ones. In the same way, men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed for lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Here, Scripture calls homosexuality a perversion. It calls it a sin against nature, right? This was written 2,000 years ago before the scientists told us, oh, no, no. It's not that, it's not a perversion, it's just a choice. It's you have no choice or whatever. They're so confused about it. 30 years ago, their book said it was a problem. Now they say it's not a problem. They change, right? Because when you lie, you change. You change the story. But what's he saying? Again, God, if you want to sin against nature, you want to go out and you know, I'm not going to even mention the stuff that might come out of that. But if you want to sin against nature, God will let you. God will let you degrade yourself. God will let you become like the squirrel, like the animal, like the pig. Okay? God will let you do that. But folks, again, remember, God has a day set where judgment is going to come upon all that sin. The sin that is against nature. The sin that is against God. There is a day of wrath set for setting these things right. Just think about it. We're supposed to be the children of God. We're supposed to be righteous and holy. That was God's purpose. That's what God made us for. And we degrade ourselves in the lowest ways if we ignore God, if we push out God's purposes. And what's our society telling us right now? How dare you preach such a thing in a church? How dare you open up the Scriptures and say what the Scriptures say? How dare you defame these poor, poor people? And what we're trying to do is save their lives by helping them understand what they're doing is sinning against nature. And there's a day of wrath coming. There's a day of wrath coming. The last part is we sin against each other. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain knowledge of God, He gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Now, if you look at that list, You meditate on that list. And then turn on CNN. Turn on Channel 7 News. And just see that it's being portrayed before our very eyes. That this world is getting worse and worse. And there's horrible stuff going on because people have rejected God. And God has let them go. And what they're doing is, you know, talking about each other. They're hurting each other. They're killing each other. They're doing all these horrible things as a result of ignoring and pushing God out of society. See, the wrath of God is coming. And you know, while we might not be practicing idolatry, I pray we are not, while we might not be, you know, sinning against nature, we do see this kind of stuff all the time around us. We don't want to be a part of this picture. We don't want to be a part of this world and what our society is embracing and encouraging. I mean, it's at one point they're talking about how bad, you know, these crimes are. Another point, they're showing hip-hop gangbangers on you know, music videos and glorifying the gangster life. You know, how many NBA players have tats that used to belong to the gangs? Now they're, you know, oh yeah, that's my hero, you know. You know, I mean, how many times we hear these heroes being arrested for, you know, things like Hernandez where they go to jail for murder because they're still hooked up with the gangbangers and stuff, right? Our world has become a much more corrupt place, and it's headed more and more and more that way. Now again, this is why the wrath of God is coming. If you, I just think of what it means. How many of you, like, you know, when you drive, you almost wish you wouldn't have driven that day? Because just going from here to there, 10 people cut you off, flip you off, you know, they're speeding like crazy to get around people. And you say, I really wish I would not have gone out of my house. The world is getting worse. It's not getting better. The wrath of God is coming because of sin. The wrath of God is there. The good news of Jesus Christ, see, we can't forget that. The good news is that while the wrath of God is being revealed, God has given us a way out. God has given us a way to be free from all the foolishness, all the rejection of God, all the emptiness, all the nastiness of what's going to bring wrath. He's given us a way out through the good news. The good news is I don't have to live like that, and I don't have to live in a world like that. This world isn't going to change. It's going to get worse. But the kingdom of heaven, folks, God is not going to allow the same thing to happen in the kingdom of heaven that's happening here. He's not. That's why God can't let it go. That's why God can't say, oh, you know, we'll just try it again. He knows what would happen if he let it go. He knows what would happen. We would have another Southwest Detroit in the kingdom of heaven. And God says, no, we're done with that. We're not going to have places like that. We're not going to have people walking around degrading themselves, degrading God, and arguing and fighting, right? We're going to have a kingdom of children of God filled with love, joy, peace, godliness. The best friend that you have will be everyone. Everyone's going to love everyone. Everyone will understand the righteousness of God. Everyone will understand God's purpose. Why? Because God's right there. But God's given us the opportunity to learn it now. There's two ways to learn this message. One is to accept Christ, to have Christ in your life, to believe in Jesus Christ, and escape the wrath that's coming. Right? Because it's coming. It's coming. But we can, you know, we believe in the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation, for rescue, for everyone who believes. For everyone who believes. I hope this helps you understand, one, why the world is the way it is. Two, there's a reason why God's wrath is going to be unleashed. It's deserved. It's just absolutely deserved. And God has given us rescue. He's given us the way out. He's given us righteousness through Jesus Christ to escape that wrath. I really love the good news. We don't have to be part of that wrathful picture. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay.